Good morning. Please stand, either in body or in spirit, for the call to worship. How glorious it is to hear of Jesus' resurrection.
At his death, our hearts cried out, and we felt lost.
But he comes to us and walks with us, even now.
In the Holy Word, in the music, in the prayers, he is present with us.
Open your hearts to the Lord.
Lord, help us really be ready to receive you into our lives.
Welcome to a beautiful day in the house of the Lord. It is good to be gathered together.
And we ask you now to be sure and pass the attendance pad down the pew and be sure and sign it and pass it back. Look around and greet your neighbors later on during the appropriate part. And welcome this morning.
Let us join together in the saying of our affirmation of faith. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand and by which we are saved.
Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead,
In whom all things shall hold together.
In whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Let us pray. Lord, we celebrate the triumph of life over death. This is the good news of Jesus, our risen Savior. You have ransomed us from our futility. Our salvation wasn't purchased with gold or silver or with perishable earthly goods, but with the precious blood of Christ himself. In his resurrection, we are born anew with him, born of the immortal, born of the everlasting, born into a living hope. Fill us with all good gifts of your Holy Spirit, that we may share your love with boldness and power, with passion and conviction, In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. A reading from the book of Isaiah. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Yes, all who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, do not fear, I will help you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's take a moment to prepare our hearts for a time of prayer. And as we do, let us consider those within our congregation and the family of our congregation who have special needs and joys on this day. We continue to pray for the families of Dean Rankin, Hazel Hammonds, Scott Miller, and Joanne Harvard, all who passed and services were held during the last week or so. In fact, our flowers today are from Joanne's service, which was beautiful, and we are grateful for these, many of the flowers that you'll see around the church. We also want to lift up especially today John Albrecht and Ashley and all of their family. John's father, Joe, was airlifted yesterday to Albuquerque. He had been hospitalized for several days. They have great hopes for what they will do in Albuquerque, but John and his mother left this morning to be with them. So our prayers are with all of you as you endure this time of waiting and wondering for healing. And of course, we lift Joe up in our prayers. We have a great joy to share today as well. I believe that you are aware that within the New Mexico Conference of the United Methodist Church, our conference is divided into three different districts: the Albuquerque District, the El Paso District, and we are in the Clovis District. Well, it was officially decided yesterday that from our church will be the Clovis District lay leader. And we want to extend our joy and our congratulations to Sandy Correa, who is going to be serving in that special role. This means that Sandy will be basically the right hand of our district superintendent, Jane Vaughn, and she'll get to sit up in the front and be important and mostly just use her grace and her love to spread the love of Jesus Christ through this new ministry for her. So Sandy, congratulations. Yay! Now, let us continue to prepare our hearts as we join together in song. You're invited to come forward with your prayer cards and put them up on the kneeling rail, or if you'd like, you can hold those up and one of our ushers will come and receive them. But let us join together in the singing of Open My Eyes That I May See.
Thank you.
O gracious and loving God, how we thank you for opening our eyes and our ears and our hearts to see you and experience you in so many areas of our lives. This morning, we ask that you would especially open our hearts to compassion, that you would help us to lift up and minister to all in our congregation and our world who are hurting. And we pray especially for those who are grieving, families who have lost loved ones, families who are in the process of transitioning a loved one into your hands, for all who are ill, for all who are struggling with worries or relationships or finances or any of the other myriad of struggles that life brings our way. For those who do not have a home in which to live or an income with which to feed their families, O God, we lift all of these to you and ask not only that you would care for us in our need, but that through us we might care for one another. Strengthen us as your church, that we might recognize the needs around us and share the good news of Jesus Christ, not only with one another, but throughout this city of Roswell. Oh God, we know from reading the paper that there is great need even here. So open our eyes to see those around us and the hurts they may be encountering. Open our eyes to see where you are at work, that we would rejoice and praise and give thanks, for you are indeed alive and doing things right here among us. We pray for the church in our nation, for all churches, whether we have the title of United Methodist near our name or not. We ask that you would revive this land and that your word and your will would be carried out here amongst our political leaders, amongst our civic leaders, and amongst all of the inhabitants of this nation. We pray for your church in this world, Lord. We pray especially for those around this world who are still persecuted even to this day, simply for the fact that they worship you through Jesus Christ. And we ask protection upon all of those who long to worship openly this day, but who are doing so in silence where they cannot be seen. Oh God, be with all. We pray for servants and volunteers, both in this congregation and throughout your church. We lift up the Pope to you, Lord, that he would represent all Christians in love and be protected as he travels to dangerous parts of the world. We pray for our own bishop and our cabinet in the United Methodist Church as appointments are being made during this season. We pray for churches where change will come and for churches where hope is needed. We pray for the volunteers in our own congregation and give you great thanks for awakening in us enthusiasm and revival. Just walking in the doors of this place, we are greeted by the smiles of Christians who love you and love one another, and oh God, what a joy it is to be part of that. We pray especially for Sandy as you draw her to a new ministry with new responsibilities. Lord, we know you've been working on her heart for a long time, and we thank you now that your call has been answered in this specific way. So God, for all of us here and far, we lift ourselves to you, we open ourselves to receive your word and your strength, and we join together in worship and in prayer as we say those words which your Son taught to his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward to prepare the receiving of our morning offering, I draw your attention to the back of your bulletin where you'll see a list of activities that's going to be happening this week. Also want to make sure that you are aware that immediately following this worship service, our youth council will be meeting, I think in room 110 probably. 110 or 111, stick around if you are involved in that group of people. We have some marvelous ideas that are percolating for our children and our youth. Also want to make sure that you know that beginning immediately after the youth council, Laird and I are going on vacation for a week. Woohoo! next Sunday you will be, yay, they're leaving. Next Sunday you will be under the capable care of Don Armstrong, who will be bringing the message. So bring your friends, and heckling is highly advised. Yeah. And if you have any pastoral needs during this time, remember that Reverend Fuss is here to care for you and guide you as we are out of town. Let me just add to that that we're going to go see our little grandson. We have six grandkids, one's a boy. He's about to turn 1 year old, so we're going to Nebraska to visit him. When we get back, we'll actually be in town next weekend, but on Sunday, still on vacation, Buttercup and I will be appearing in our first horse show. Pray for safety. The goal is that we won't back into any other horses because she has this little tendency. But here's the cool thing. Check this out. Before the horse show begins over at Pecos Valley Arena, I'm actually going to be leading cowboy church for all the participants of this horse show. So if you want to come out for Cowboy Church, it's going to be really brief at 8:30 out at the PVH Arena. I'm looking for a guitar player. If anybody plays guitar and would be willing to come out and lead a couple of cowboy songs, that'd be great. Now, let us continue our worship as we bring our tithes and our offerings. Oh God, bless what we bring. Multiply it for the use in your kingdom, and give us generous and joyful hearts as we give. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Was taken all.
I invite you to spend a moment greeting those who are worshiping near you today, and I invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Nice job. They sounded awesome. And what a big, full, giant choir. Very good. Very good. Good job, sopranos. You were awesome.
Thank you.
It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Good job, choir. That was awesome. And you're like this massive choir today. It's cool. Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you today? You doing good?
Good.
Good morning. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Good morning. Don't get too comfortable because we're going for a walk. Everybody up. Come on, here we go. Let me through, let me through. Excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. Okay, you're ready?
Yeah.
Follow me, no one left behind. Come along, let's just walk along. It's good every now and then to take a walk. Let's see, let's make sure we haven't lost anybody. Everybody gather here. Okay, so here we are on a little walk around the church. From right here, look around and just tell me what you see. What do you see?
People.
What else?
A cross.
What else?
And chairs.
Benches.
Chairs and benches. What else?
Disciples.
Ooh, good one. What do you see? This thing right here, this is a banner. Isn't it beautiful? What do you see?
God.
Oh, very nice. You see all kinds of stuff. Let me ask you a question. Oh, what do you see, JP? Lights. You see lights? Okay.
And I see TVs.
And you see TVs. There are some cool things. You see me. That is awesome. Okay, let's walk a little more. Come on, let's go. Come with me. Here we go. This way, this way. Oh, let's see. How about here? Okay, everybody good?
Yep.
Okay, don't lose anybody. All right, from right here, what do you see?
I see that.
That.
See the bells?
The bells. What do you see? The things that, the stands that hold the music. What do you see? A case for the handbells, the behind the scenes. What do you see? What do you see? Yes, ma'am.
I see
the piano. The piano. Very good. You see the roof. What do you see?
I see those instruments.
Those instruments over there. What do you see? The roof. Okay, now, this part's tricky. Everybody put your hands on your head. Your hands may not leave your head. Follow me. Hands on your head. Don't take your hands off your head. Are your hands on your head? Okay, good. We're protecting the bells is what we're doing. Hands on your heads. Keep coming. Keep those hands up there. Oh, here's a good place. Let's stop here. Come on, hands on your heads. Hurry, everybody, no stragglers. Good job listening. Good job, okay, we are safe. Hands can come off your heads, okay. Everybody, come on in here. Come on in here. All right, from right here, what do you see? What do you see?
People.
People, what do you see?
The church.
The church, what? Wait. So what do you see when you see the church?
I see the
lights. The lights and all the stuff? That's cool. What do you see?
I see disciples.
Disciples. And what?
They're not spared the word.
Disciples that are not spared the word. All right. She's seeing like visionary. What do you see?
Books.
You see like these hymnals and Bibles and stuff? What do you see, Luke? The banners. Yeah, look at the front from back here. Isn't that neato? What do you see? Shout it out. Pardon?
Joy.
Joy. You see joy. What do you see?
I see the choir.
You see the choir. Hi, wave choir. Yay. What else do you see? People of God. Man, you are seeing with great eyes. What do you see? Pardon? Air vents. That's right. We have those too, don't we? What do you see?
The doors.
We have lots of different doors. Now, let's move right over here so we can get a little closer together. Come right here. We'll conclude the walk right here. Do you see anything different from here?
Mm-hmm.
What do you see?
I see chairs.
Chairs?
I see flowers.
Flowers. They're beautiful, aren't they? What do you see? Come all the way, let everybody in, into the aisle here. What do you see?
Flag.
The flag, that's right. Do you see that there are actually two flags? There's one over there too. What do you see?
The cross.
The cross, isn't it glorious? That's beautiful. What else? Let everybody in, come all the way into the aisle so that we don't have straggle. I'm sorry, I fanned into your face. Come on in, there you go. What else do you see?
Freedom
to praise God. What else do you see?
The book.
The book. The book. What is that book?
The Bible.
Sweet. What else do you see?
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ. What do you see?
The candles.
Let me tell you a little story. One day, Jesus' disciples went on a walk. They were walking 7 miles. From one town to another town. And guess what they saw on their walk?
Jesus.
What?
They followed the star.
That was a different walk. But this one was after all of that. But that was a good walk too.
What? See God.
They did. They saw Jesus. But here's the thing. They didn't know it was him.
And then
they thought it was just a man. Exactly. They thought it was just some guy until he went with them for a meal. And during the meal, he took the bread and he broke the bread, just like we do at communion. And then their eyes were open. Now, it's not that their eyes were shut before, but all of a sudden they understood what they saw.
And then he disappeared.
And then he disappeared from their sight. When we just took this little walk around the church, you saw all kinds of things. And then you started seeing bigger things like joy and God's people and disciples. You are already learning how to see beyond just stuff. So when you're on a walk, even if it's just from your house to your garage, or from your bedroom into the kitchen, I want you to start opening your eyes and see beyond little things that are there. See feelings, and see God, and see hope and joy, because God will bless that just like he did the disciples. So look around one more time. What do you see? Just shout it out. What do you see? Everybody sees a little different, and it's all beautiful in life. Good job. You didn't say that you saw anything, but you can say something later. God's creation. Let's take a hand and have a prayer. What did you see? Over there, you saw the target. Oh my goodness, she does. She sees the target right there under the exit sign. Good job, Noah. All right, let's say a prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for opening our eyes to see you wherever we are, whether we're still or walking. Now bless us and protect us and keep us in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may go back to your families.
Thank you.
The gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 18. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. Oh, yes, please stand. About 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, okay, well, you can see that I have moved my spot over here, and it's because of the light. We have, after almost 2 years, we've figured out how dark the pulpit is, and so until we get that kind of rearranged a little bit, I'm going to try it this way, which Tina's very comfortable with. I'm less comfortable because I like to hold on to the pulpit. To me, it gives me sort of a feeling of power and pastorliness, I guess. And the music stand is kind of flimsy, so if we'll give this a shot. But the sermon series that this is the second in this sermon series, What Would Jesus Tweet? And the title of this sermon is OMG Seriously? Now, when you hear those letters, especially if you see it on a tweet or a text or something like that, what do you hear? What do you think that OMG means? Oh my God was what I heard the most. It might also be, oh my goodness. It could be, oh my gosh. But I want to, before we launch into the text, I kind of want to talk about this expression a little bit. And let me go ahead and, Nick, can you play this videotape and watch me, because I'm going to cut it off pretty fast probably here.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Well, I gotta buy a vowel. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Okay, thanks, Nick. That's enough. Okay, now, I use that as an example. I was looking at YouTube or something. I knew there would be a video out there of people saying, oh my God. Because there's a video of just about everything on you that you can possibly think of on YouTube. And that's what I came up with, a series of clips from the TV show Friends. And I was talking to Tina about it as I was putting the sermon together. And Tina says, well, you know, when we were thinking about this, I didn't really think of it as, oh my God. I always think when I hear those initials, oh my goodness. And you know, so this is the sort of the what I want to say before we get into the actual topic. But so OMG, especially oh my God, is kind of an irreverent colloquialism, which has been used for as long as I remember, all the way back to high school, which is about as long as I can remember anyway. Certainly people said, oh my God. And if you were raised in a household like I was, you weren't allowed to say, oh my God, because that would be using the Lord's name in vain. Because don't forget that the fourth commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. But it has become such a part of our language that it's not, it, most people, I don't even know how you would measure the awareness of people using or not using that word based on the fourth commandment. It's subconscious for Tina. It's something that I'm always aware of. But honestly, I sort of mention that as a disclaimer because we're going to use that phrase quite a bit in the next few minutes. And I don't really need to get into a big discussion right now about if you're going to be damned to hell because you use that word. But I challenge you this week to give some thought to the fourth commandment, to using the Lord's name in vain, and maybe do some meditation on why that's important. I mean, there's only 10 commandments, and not using the Lord's name in vain is right up there with murder and adultery. It must be a very important thing not to do. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. I'm just saying. Oh, that's the name of another sermon series, just saying. But so after that disclaimer, this today's story about Jesus walking the road, about these guys walking to along the road to Emmaus, was a great opportunity for Jesus to tweet something like that, if he were going to tweet something like that. So it was two of Jesus's followers, Cleophas and somebody else whose name we don't have, and they were walking along the Emmaus Road, and at first they didn't realize that someone had caught up with them, probably from behind, and all of a sudden was walking along with them that they didn't really notice at first, and they didn't recognize who it was. Well, you and I know that it was Jesus, and it was the risen Jesus who then asked them what they were talking about after perhaps he heard a little bit of their conversation, and they sort of answered in an OMG kind of way themselves. They said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have taken place here in these days?" And you could kind of add in there, "Oh my God, seriously?" It would be appropriate probably to have that text put in there. And then they went on to tell this stranger about the famous Jesus and about what a tragedy that it was that he had been killed. And can't you just hear Jesus saying then, "Seriously? Oh my God." And what he actually did say, and this is verse 25, is "How foolish you are, how slow of heart you are to believe all the how slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophets had declared." In other words, how slow you are to understand what the prophets have declared. And was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory? But, you know, if Jesus said, "Oh my God," would it be using the Lord's name in vain? Perhaps not. Maybe it would be more like, "Bless them, God," or "Help them understand, God," or "Be with them forever and ever, oh my God." It had all happened so fast. There had been a lot of confusion among the disciples. In fact, an outright panic, which went on after the horror of seeing Jesus die on the cross. And you've probably heard the story then that on the third day, the women went to the tomb where the body of Jesus had been and found that the tomb was empty and that Jesus's body was not there. And those women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and another lady named Salome, rushed back to the disciples with the news that they had seen angels who had told them that Jesus had risen. And as we all know, the disciples at first just dismissed this as hysteria, just crazy talk. This is crazy. And then Peter and John ran to the tomb and discovered that it was indeed empty. But they didn't know what to do. I mean, Jesus' band of followers was falling apart. It was coming unglued. Oh my God. Those two guys who ran into Jesus on the road were only two of the discouraged and frustrated believers. So many of those who had been following Jesus all over the countryside were utterly defeated. They were just throwing in the towel. Oh my God. This encounter between Jesus and these two men is one of the most vivid of the resurrection appearances. It's a story of discouragement that turned into excitement. A lemon turned into a lemonade. And as the story continues, as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." And so he went in to stay with them, and when he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Oh my God. This is a story of people who were discouraged and frustrated, who had pretty much quit, and then they overcame their discouragement and their frustration because they invited Jesus in to stay with them, invited him into their hearts. Oh my God. And just like those early followers of Jesus, don't we sometimes find discouragement and frustration in our own lives? You know, sometimes things don't turn out the way that we thought they would. Sometimes we get discouraged and frustrated in our jobs or in our marriages. Sometimes we get sick, and sometimes we get old. Or maybe it's the kids or the grandkids. And for those who care about the future of the church, knowing what to do about the church in the difficult days ahead, the missing generations, the cash flow, oh my God. And so we must pay attention to what Jesus has taught us about remaining faithful. When Jesus was crucified, his followers thought it was all over. They went home, they were walking away from his teaching, they were walking away from his memory. They thought they were beaten. And you know people right here in Roswell who have done the same thing. Churchgoers who have given in to temptation to just stay home on Sunday mornings for whatever reason. But it doesn't help, you know. Instead, the more physically distant that we get from those who love the Lord, the less likely we are to recognize Jesus, even though he is walking with us the entire time. Well, I have some homework for you this week. Your homework is to tell everyone that you know that it's not good to ignore your spiritual side. It's not good to hide out from God. It's not good to hide out from your brothers or your sisters in Christ. In fact, it's counterproductive. It will make things worse in your life instead of better. And so when we get discouraged and frustrated, maybe sometimes we think that God has let us down. But we had better be sure that we have not let God down. Jesus is telling us that We have to remember that evil cannot win, that God is on our side. Those two guys on the road to Emmaus had stopped believing and stopped hoping, and they forgot that God is more powerful than anything in the world. And so most of us here this morning have heard God speak to us at one time or another, in one way or another. Perhaps some of us have had trouble believing that things will turn out all right in our own lives. Maybe we've had trouble hoping, and maybe we've had a hard time hearing Jesus guide us through the Holy Spirit, even though he's right here every minute of every day. And so as a parting word, I'll close with this prayer written by Frank Schaeffer called the Emmaus Road Prayer. Let us pray. Meet us, Lord, on the road to Emmaus. Guide us on the path towards our destination and renew our strength as we continue to walk and commune with you. Open our eyes so that we see the signs of your presence around us. Open our hearts so we may receive your peace and love, and empower us to pass on to others the grace you share with us so freely. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we sing this final hymn, I invite you to make a decision today in your heart, quietly where you are. Come forward if today is the day you would like to join the church. I think we've still got room on our roll book, so we would encourage you to do that. And maybe just once again, we remember that the Lord is with us always, always, always. We just have to remember to listen. Will you stand as we sing together? And now may the grace and mercy and strength of Jesus Christ be with us now and through the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.